Gospels and the life of Christ, and right after that we went straight into Acts, kind of the story after Christ and what the disciples were able to do. And what's kind of unique is that I was the sermon right before we jumped into the Gospels, so I was kind of, you know, able to preach, kind of getting us ready to go into that, and now I get to be the sermon right after we finished the whole series on Acts. So I get to be the bookends of this look at the narrative of the New Testament. And so I'm going to kind of look back on some of the key themes, some of the things we've really have touched on and really sat upon and looked at, like the stories that we looked at and the things we pulled out. I really want to pull a few of those and kind of tie that together into what we can move forward to do. And if you haven't been here the last couple of months, then, you know, hopefully you've read the stories and you'll pick up. But I really want to look at the story of Pentecost and kind of have that be the central theme of today. And today is Pentecost Sunday. We just heard the story of the birth of the church. And what we want to do is want to look at that story, but go a few scenes before that. If this is a movie, let's go a few scenes before that. And at the very end of the Gospels, what do we see the disciples doing? They're hiding. They're kind of afraid. They don't know what they're doing. At the end of the Gospel of John, we have the disciples kind of saying, well, I guess we should go back to our old jobs. Let's go back fishing. And they just don't have purpose. They don't have any clear goal of what they're supposed to do. And if we fast forward to this scene, you know, the story we just read, we see the disciples out in the streets. We see them proclaiming, you know, Jesus is Lord, you know, repent and be baptized. That's what we keep hearing. And there's a total 180. We had the disciples who were afraid and hiding in an upper room are now out in the streets proclaiming. We have disciples who had no idea what they were supposed to do, and now they have all the vision. And they have the vision of the church. They have the vision that God had for them. And so I kind of want to focus on what changed. What transformed these disciples? And kind of throughout the Gospels, we see them as kind of the dopey sidekick to Jesus. That they're always asking the wrong questions. They never quite understand what Jesus is talking about. They're arguing on the road who's greater. And they keep messing up. But then all of a sudden, they're here and they're the main characters in the Gospel of Acts, and the Holy Spirit empowers them to do all these great things. And what changed? So the two things that I really want to focus on of kind of what changed in them was, I think they had faith, and I think it was the Holy Spirit. And those things are really intertwined. The faith and the Holy Spirit are really intertwined. It's kind of hard to tell what's faith and what's the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of a paradox, because sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit to have faith, and sometimes it takes some faith in the Holy Spirit, and it's all intertwined. And so those are the two things I want to look at today, faith and the Holy Spirit. And if I look at faith for just a second, faith is kind of an overarching theme of the whole Bible, that Old Testament, New Testament, all these different stories, there's always faith involved. It's always, this person was faithful, this person wasn't. This person was doing what God wanted, this person wasn't. It's kind of this dichotomy throughout the Bible of the faithful and the faithless. And the story of Israel in the Old Testament is all about they have faith, and then, you know, things are going great, and then all of a sudden they start fading away from that faith, and God punishes them, and then there's a prophet or a judge that comes up and says, hey, we used to serve this God, let's go back to that. And so they go back to that, and it's that cycle over and over and over again of having faith and not having faith. And later on in their history, there was the prophets, and the prophets were all about faith. There's two types of prophecy, and it's blessing and curses. And so the blessings are, hey, have faith because this is going to happen, or because you had faith, all these good things are going to happen. And at the other end, the curses, it's you didn't have faith, so all these bad things are going to happen. Or if you don't have faith, these horrible things are going to happen to you. And one of the main things that the prophets were talking about was idolatry. That's one of the main things that they really just said, why are you guys doing this? Why are you serving these other gods? That was the main thing that they wanted to say to the people of Israel, is what's with the idolatry? And the idolatry wasn't of, you know, totally forgetting God. It wasn't totally throwing God to the side. It was having God up there, but then throwing other gods up there too. And when we think about our money, we want to kind of diversify our portfolio. We want to invest in all these different things because we don't want to throw all our money in one investment or one stock just because if that doesn't work out, then there goes all our money. So, you know, investment people are always talking about diversifying your portfolio, or so I hear. But so I hear. And maybe you. But what Israel was doing was they were diversifying their deities. You know, they didn't want to put all their faith in one God. And so they would, you know, things would be going fine, so God would be up there number one. And then things would start happening. You know, all of a sudden there's other nations that are going to attack them. And then they think, well, man, we're putting a lot of faith in this one God. What if he doesn't pan out? And so they say, well, why don't we serve another God too? And another God, another God. And their mentality was that if we each serve, you know, if we serve each God enough, then maybe we'll get enough blessing out of it in the end. That, it, you know, if this God, one God doesn't pan out, let's just try and serve each God just enough. See if one of those gods pans out, that we get enough blessing in return. And we look back on it, and we look at these Israelites of being faithful and faithless and diversifying their deities, and we kind of look at that and we think, what are they thinking? You know, it's like, come on, these guys are boneheads. Why don't they get it? What, you know, it's just like, why? But if you really look at it and really think about it, we do the exact same thing. And we're not, you know, bowing down to a golden calf or anything like that. At least I'm not. But we throw ourselves up there. We throw our own garbage up there. That if, you know, if it's a bookshelf and God's in that top shelf kind of ruling it, and things are going fine, God at the top shelf, that's fine. But then all of a sudden some trials come, everything isn't so peachy anymore, and then we kind of throw ourselves up there. We throw our own desires up there. We throw our insecurities, we throw our pride, and all of a sudden on that top shelf it's full of stuff, and there's God, and then a whole bunch of my garbage kind of covering him up on that top shelf. So how do we fix that? How do we fix that idolatry that we see, that we all do? That when God's there, we have faith in God, but we also have faith in a whole bunch of other things we throw up there, the same level of God, if not higher. A few weeks ago, Matthew was preaching, and the main thing that he was talking about is God wants to kill you. God wants to kill you so he can resurrect you, and so then he can use you. And a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in there, and I was hearing the sermon, and it really resonated with me. It really spoke to me. And I thought, man, yeah, that's it. I need to die. I need God to kill me. Matthew also talked about being at the end of a rope and kind of just letting go. Instead of kind of climbing back up this rope of my pride or whatever it would be, just let go of it. And I was like, yes, that's what I need to do. That's it. So it was a very emotional Sunday for me, and it really resonated with me. But then the next day I had to figure out, what does that mean? How do I do that? How do I kill myself? How do I let God kill myself? How do I let go of the rope? What does that mean? What does that mean in my everyday life? You know, it doesn't mean quit my job and sit at home and hope something happens. You know, what does it mean? How do I live my life every day having God kill me? And I think that kind of ties into the top shelf, God being the top shelf and me throwing all those things up there. That having God kill me is saying, God, I'm throwing my pride up there. I'm throwing my insecurities up there. I'm throwing myself right up there with you. Kill that part of me. You know, telling God, God, be alone up there. Don't allow me to throw myself up there. And it takes some faith to do that. It takes some faith. Instead of having our own desires, being in the driver's seat, having God in the driver's seat. It takes some faith. And it takes some faith to know when we're not doing it right. And this is where the Holy Spirit and faith kind of intertwined again. That if we want God to kill us, and we want God to kind of throw those things down that are there on that top shelf, we need the Holy Spirit to kind of illuminate when we're doing that. To kind of clarify, you know, Holy Spirit kind of the back of your mind, you're doing it again, Nate. You're throwing yourself up there again. And so that's kind of how Holy Spirit and faith going together. And let's go back to the Pentecost. And the disciples in the Gospels, I think they had God at the top of their shelf, but also had a whole bunch of other things. They were afraid. They didn't know exactly what they were supposed to do. They had all these other things. And day of Pentecost comes, Holy Spirit comes, boom. All of a sudden, all those things that were up there on their top shelf, All the doubts they had, all the questions they had were gone. It was because the power of the Holy Spirit came and wiped those out. And so God was number one in their life. God was on the top shelf of what they were doing. And they go out and they preach, Jesus is Lord. That's what they go out and preach. And they start preaching in different languages. And so everyone there, no matter where they were from, was hearing the gospel in their own language. And 3,000 people came to the Lord in just that one day. That's the Holy Spirit at work. That's a glimpse of what happens when God is on that top shelf ruling your life. When God's in the driver's seat and you let him, okay, God, you drive, you show me where to go. That's the things that are happen. Those are the things that happen. Is that 3,000 people come to the Lord that day. Now, I'm really into philosophy, and I like to think about things. And one of my favorite philosophers is a man named Soren Kierkegaard. And he's an existential philosopher, and I'm not going to go into that, but he's also a Christian. So he's got some interesting views, and he really kind of blows my mind in a good way, where he kind of challenges the way I've always thought about things. And one of the key things that Kierkegaard talks about is a leap of faith, a kind of a paradox of faith. And what he talks about that is that we, before we have faith, before we go out and do something in faith, we want all this concrete notion. We want certainty that what we're doing is right. But the flip side of that is that we're not going to get that. We're not going to get that certainty until we step out into faith and do something. And that's the paradox, that we want the certainty before the faith, but we can't have the certainty until we step out into the faith. And one of the key ways that Kierkegaard explains this is he says, all right, think of just a normal guy who says, you know, Napoleon, that guy doesn't exist. Napoleon Bonaparte didn't exist. Now, I could, you know, show him all my history books and I can show him all these different things and prove to him that Napoleon exists. But if I brought him all this stuff, he would say, nope, that's a fake. Nope, that's a forgery. Nope, that's just a conspiracy to make me believe that there's some guy, Napoleon, actually existed. And so if someone firmly believes that Napoleon never existed, then there's nothing I can show him that's going to change his mind on that. And Kierkegaard talks about that with God, that before we believe in God, we want concrete notion. We want certainty that God exists before we believe in God. Before we take that leap of faith, we want to know that this is right. And it doesn't happen that way. That if we don't believe God exists, then nothing is going to come to us that makes us certain until we actually believe that God exists. And so it's that paradox of faith. That we want certainty, but it's not going to come until we go out there and live it. And I think this applies to all these small things we're talking about too. All the daily times in our life where we're throwing ourselves up there with God, on that same level with God. That we need to have these little leaps of faith every single day. All these little decisions that we make, we need to have little leaps of faith. That we have a notion that we're supposed to do something, and instead of doing it, we think of all the things that could happen. And I got a story that goes with this. Last winter, I was at a junior high retreat, and just kind of during a ministry time, and I kind of felt, there's that kid up there. I'm supposed to pray for him. I didn't know this kid, and so all of a sudden, as I think that, the whole long list of all these excuses kind of came up. Well, you know, that kid probably has his own leader that should pray for him, or, you know, maybe I don't know what to say. Maybe he's going to be weirded out by it, or just I had a whole long list of all these things that came in the way of that. And as I'm kind of compiling this list in my mind, this other junior high boy comes up to me and he says, you're a leader, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I think that guy over there needs prayer. So it's like, okay. So God knows how to motivate me, because God knows that I'm not going to wuss out in front of a junior high boy. So he knows how to motivate me. So I was like, all right, fine. I guess this God's in this. And so I go up and I start praying for this guy, and I kind of felt like I was supposed to pray for him, that God's kind of asking you to give up something. God's kind of working something out of you. And then again, in my mind, a whole list, oh, that's going to sound weird. I don't know about this. And so I took that little mini leap of faith, and I said, you know what? I think God's asking you to give up something. And this kid turns and looks at me and he says, I've never told anyone this before. But, and he kind of told me a whole long list of things that he's been struggling with. And things that he, you know, never told anyone before, but really is coming out just then. And that's, you know, I had these mini leaps of faith to go and pray for him and to pray what I thought I should pray for him. These mini leaps of faith. I wasn't certain about it. I had all these doubts that came up, but I did it anyway. And as I did that, as this kid's telling me his story, that's when the certainty came. Because this kid was exactly where I was a few years before. And I was able to say, hey, I've been right exactly there. That's where I was a few years ago. Let me pray for you. And so it's these mini leaps of faith that throughout the day we have all these different things that we can take the step and do it, or we can sit there still compiling the list. And that if you really want certainty, if you want a concrete notion, that you got to take that leap of faith. You got to step out and do it. And if it doesn't work out, then you know, hey, that didn't work out. But if it does work out, then you know, hey, God was in that. But you're never going to know if you're just sitting there still compiling your list. And guess what? You know, all these things we're talking about, they're tough. Having God kill you, that's tough. Making little mini leaps of faith every day, doing what God's telling you to do, analyzing your life and figuring out where you're putting yourself right up there with God, that's tough. Those things are tough. And the problem is that it's not over. You know, God doesn't just, if I'm feeling really prideful that day and all of a sudden I'm realizing that God's here and my pride's right here, if I pray, God, you know, kill that pride, he'll do it. But a little bit later, my pride just creeps on up there. That it's never ending. You know, I'm always going to be putting myself up there with God. But I need to continue to pray to say, God, knock that out of me. Knock those things out of me. And there's going to be plenty of times where God's going to tell me to do something and I'm going to be really hesitant to do it. But, see, all these things are so hard. But the good thing is that we're not doing it alone. You think the disciples, if they didn't have the Holy Spirit, would be preaching in different languages and have 3,000 people converted in one day? No. These are ordinary guys. These are fishermen. These are tax collectors. These were just Jesus' sidekicks that in the Gospels weren't doing much. All of a sudden now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are doing everything that Jesus was doing. And we're the same way. That we're ordinary people. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do extraordinary things. And that we're living this life and it's tough. And there's tough decisions, there are things that aren't always going to go our way, but we're not doing it alone. We have the Holy Spirit there. So that allows us to have faith. Because we're not doing it alone. The Holy Spirit is there. Before I finish, I want you to know that if there's anything that's really resonating with you right now, that if you feel, man, I don't have that faith, or I want more of the Holy Spirit, or I'm having a hard time because I'm throwing myself right up there with God, come forward and get prayer after the service. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the people that are up here, they absolutely love to pray for people. You know, you're not putting them out. If you come up forward and get prayer, you're making their day because they love to pray for people. And that's such an opportunity that we have here, that whatever you need prayer about, there's people that this is the highlight of their day would be to pray for you. So if there's anything that you feel like you need prayer for, come forward and get prayer because there's people up here that would love to pray for you. But as I close, I want to pray for us and for faith and for the Holy Spirit. And if that's something that you say, yeah, that's what I want, that as I'm praying for faith, just kind of pray to the Lord, yeah, I want that. Or Lord, give me some more faith. And as I'm praying for the Holy Spirit, just say, hey, Lord, give me more of your Holy Spirit. So please rise. Lord, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit here and fill us up. allow us to make these leaps of faith every day. Lord, I thank you for the story of the Pentecost, and I ask for more of that. I ask for the story of the Pentecost to be continued in the story of our lives. So, Lord, I ask for more of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Pray for more of you, Lord. Lord, fill this place with your glory and your Holy Spirit. Have us feel your power. And Lord, allow us to have faith in you, even when it's hard. Allow us to step out on a limb and just have faith. Just hold on to your faith. Lord, allow us to do that. Just give us more faith. And Lord, as we leave here, allow us to do things through the Holy Spirit that we didn't think we were capable of doing. Whether that be praying for someone or getting prayed for or preaching your word, Lord, that we do things that we're not capable of. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are. Allow us to do those things, Lord. Lord, again, just fill us with your Holy Spirit and bless us today. Amen. All right.